they have received their reward. But you,
yes.
Now you hear Jesus.
Yes.
He says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Yes.
Pray then like this.
Yes.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Some say trespasses, some say sins. And as we also have forgiven those who have trespassed, sinned against us. Amen?
Amen.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, really from the evil one, from the devil, from those kind of things that come from the other end. We don't want to be involved with that at all. And as we go, and then he goes on to say, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear you. And help us to use what you direct and teach us to manage our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. When I was a little boy, I was fascinated with trains, especially locomotives. And I would always hear the whistle blow on the train. And the train track served as a dividing mark between the black and the white community. I don't know if any of you identify with what I'm saying about that. You couldn't go across the track after dark. Something might happen to you. And I always was fascinated by trains, but I never had been close to them. And one day, Mama and I were going uptown. It was daylight, so we could cross the track. And the train was coming. And I said, Mama, I want to stop and see the train. She said, okay. And the train was coming, and man, that train was the biggest thing I think I had seen up close. And when the train got close, I took off and ran in the other direction. But also at the train track, there was a sign that says, stop, look, and listen. Y'all familiar with that, amen? And that's what we need to do when Jesus gives us teaching, instruction, direction. Amen?
Yeah.
See, Jesus is not just talking to hear himself talk. He's talking so that we can make it from here to heaven. So it's a serious conversation that Jesus has. And it was instituted because this disciple, came to Jesus. Now there's another passage that's similar and parallel to this one in Matthew, in Luke. Chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. And I'm just going to read this as part of the context. It says, Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, very similar to Matthew. But I want to say to you that they're similar, but not the same. And it's important for us when we're studying to show ourselves approved before God that we get as much information as we can. The information, when it's coming from Jesus, will guide us from here to heaven. That's where we want to go, amen?
Amen.
We're not interested in going to Las Vegas, to Monaco, to the Bahamas. We're interested in eventually getting to heaven, amen?
Amen?
And so we need to listen to the one who came from heaven for us, amen? And he's given us direction. And he gives us direction because this disciple asked. Now, so many of us are members of church. We've been going to church all our life. But it's important for us to become disciples. And there's a difference between being a member of a church and being a disciple. A disciple wants to know what Jesus wants for them to do. Amen? A disciple continues to learn from Jesus. They never get to the point that they say, I know that. I don't need any more. They're always stopping, looking, and listening to Jesus. Now, there's times that I like to listen to Jimmy Smith, Jimmy McGriff, you know, Miles Davis, Earth, Wind, and Fire. But I tell you, it's important for us to listen seriously to Jesus. Now, all of these other folks might stimulate us and titillate us in other ways at other times. Oh, Chuck Berry did it for a long time. He was even called the king of rock and roll. But that all comes to an end. But brothers and sisters, what Jesus says has eternal benefit for now and forever. Oh, yeah, I love to go to Bahamas. I love to go to Africa. I love to go to Brazil. But it's important to center on heaven. And that's what Jesus did when he taught them to pray. Amen?
Amen.
He started out, our Father who art in where?
Heaven.
Oh my goodness. He didn't say in Bahamas. He didn't say Brazil. He didn't say in Acapulco. He said in heaven. And it's important for us to be centered on heaven. And if Jesus, whose home has been and always will be in heaven, centers us back to heaven, we need to spend some time thinking about getting there. And prayer is a main way to center us on heaven. I love Black history. You know, the Woolfolk family can trace their history back to 1809 in Virginia, being free Black folks. That makes me feel good, but just being free and Black and in Virginia in 1809 won't help me eternally. And I'm a real buff for Black history. Mama, who raised me, was born November the 9th, 1869. Mama raised me, and she raised my mother. And Mama took me when she was 75 years old. And I believe she prayed and asked God to allow her to see me grown because she lived to be 96 years old. Black history, I'm surrounded by it. And one of the plans my wife just made yesterday was to go to Birmingham, Alabama this July for the Cato family reunion. They do that every year, somewhere different. And the Wool folks, they have their family reunion every other year, and it's going to be in St. Louis in August. So we concentrate on black folks and our heritage, but I'm here to tell you what's important is heaven. Oh, I love my family. Oh, my God, I love my family. My mother's 86 years old, and she lives with us now. And so does my stepmother. She's 86, and she lives here in Denver. And we've got 5 grown children, and we've got 21 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren. I love my family, but I'm here to tell you that I want to see Jesus. Yeah. I want to see him for myself, and I listen to him when he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He said, "Hallowed be thy name." Now, the name of God to the Jews is so sacred and so reverent and so awesome that they won't even say it. But we have the audacity to curse each other out using God's name. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. But we do it. And we make it commercial business anymore. Some of the programs, some of the movies, some of the... Y'all know what I'm talking about. We make a business out of using God's name in vain. And we're going to turn around and say, "God going to bless me." Something is wrong with that scenario. Can y'all help me to think about how wrong that is? When Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I've been guilty. I thought it made me more manly if I... Y'all know what I'm talking about. When I would say stuff like that, I thought it made me to be big and tough. But the truth of the matter is it made me low and nasty. It's important for us to know how to pray. And that's what this certain disciple asked Jesus. And Jesus, both in Matthew and in Luke, centered him on heaven and centered him on God's name. And for some time in my early life, in my stupidity, I didn't quite understand. But now that I've been able to experience 70 plus, I understand better. The old folks used to sing that song, "You'll understand it better." I ain't got into the by and by yet, but I'm understanding better. And so it's important for us to keep on understanding what God wants us to do as we focus more and more toward heaven. Amen. Amen. And the attitude that you have when you pray. some of us act as if the whole world is going to shift and shake if we pray. But it's our privilege to pray. It's our duty to pray. It's our obligation to pray. It's for our own good for us to have a little talk with Jesus and to tell him all about our trials and our tribulations and our pressures and our tensions and our temptations. It's to our advantage. It keeps us from being insane. Oh, yeah. It helps us to balance our mind and our soul and our spirit, prayer does. It's good for us. Psychologically, physiologically, theologically, anthropologically, it's good for us to pray. It's not something that, well, I'll think about it and I'll do it. It's something that we ought to live to do. You know, some of us can't live a week without being on a golf course. And some of us think that March Madness. Well, y'all hear me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm really rooting for the Nuggets right now. They're doing good. I got tickets, but I gave them to my son and my grandson and folks for the night's game. But I'm not going to be going. Let them enjoy it, you know. It's all right, the impression said, have a good time. But make sure that your good time is focused in a way that you can still give honor and glory and praise to God, to Jesus, and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. It's something to be given the honor. It's an honor to be able to pray. See, God don't hear everybody that pray. See, it's because he's our Father, he'll hear us. And I want to encourage you to make sure you got that relationship right with God. Amen? See, Jesus, when he said and told them that in both places, it's our Father. It's a family relationship. You got to make sure you're in the family and you're keeping with family standards and order. It's not a loosey-goosey kind of thing when you sit down to pray. See, hypocrites pray. Oh, yeah. That's what Jesus said. Don't you be like what?
The hypocrites.
The hypocrites. So the hypocrites pray. But it seems as if Jesus was saying when the hypocrites pray, even though they say a lot of words, go through a lot of formality, seems as if Jesus is saying it's a bunch of hogwash. They're just going through a routine. And I don't want our prayers to be routine. I don't want our prayers to hit the ceiling and bounce back to the floor. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, it's important for us to center on God and God's name, God's holiness, and come out of this play acting. That's what a hypocrite is. It's an actor. He can put on a serious face, a comedy face, and all he has to do is switch back and forth in the roles. And that's what hypocrites do. But when you say, our Father, I pray that you mean I'm going to do what you want me to do, Daddy. I'm not going to wait until you turn your back and then I get off track. Because if you get off track, he'll know. But he's there for you anyhow. As we go on in this. Now, we tend to call this the Lord's Prayer. But it's really the disciples' prayer. See, the Lord prayed in John 17, let them be one like we are one. But here we're learning how to deal with life. And that's what prayer is about. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, here we got this heaven again. He didn't say Mexico. He didn't say England. He said heaven. And the English, I think they thought that the world was their stage to play on and to play with. And the people were their pawns, like they were on a chessboard. You know, there used to be the saying that the sun never sets on the British Empire. But now the British Empire has been pushed so far back that all of the colonists are now there on that little island. And they're popping up. So one guy drove down across the bridge killing folks just recently. Homeboy said, the chickens will come back home to roost. And that's what's happening in Britain and in Germany and in France and different places where people have tried to take over the world. We're going through that kind of siege now. Don't worry. It ain't going to happen. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole earth be silent before him. And as we're praying, and that's what we're doing, we're learning how to pray by seeing and hearing what God continues to do. Your kingdom come. That's what we want to happen. God, we want your kingdom to come, not Trump's kingdom, not Hillary's kingdom. Not Obama's kingdom. Yeah. We want your kingdom to come on earth.
Yes, sir.
It can come today, as far as I'm concerned. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. I would like to have another 15, 20 years, but if he said, come on, come on, let me show you where it's at.
Yeah.
Said, show me. I want to go. I heard Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes, yes.
And I believe it. Oh, I believe it. Oh, I believe it.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if mine's got a number on it, if it's got a burgundy lining in it, my room, but wherever it is with Jesus is all right with me. Amen. I tell you. I tell you that it's your kingdom, God. Give me a place in it.
Yes.
The ushers say, let me just be a doorkeeper.
Yes.
That's what the ushers say. But I say, I want to come on in and sit down. Have me some good music. Yes. Maybe a brisket barbecued. Oh, yeah. I want to have it. But I want it in heaven. I ain't wanting to have it down on the Mississippi River that might flood over on me. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to have it up in the mountain where there might be an avalanche. I want it in heaven. But you gotta coordinate them together to get them to work, you know? And Jesus keeps on because it's a continuous effort. He says, give us this day our daily bread. You see, and he's not caring whether we have a whole bunch of loaves of bread. He's concerned that we have what we need for now. You know, you notice that he don't do a whole lot of tomorrow stuff. I don't know nobody that's been in tomorrow and came back. I've been talking to people for 70 years plus, but I don't know anybody that's been in to tomorrow and came back. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And that's today. You can't go back to yesterday, but you can get forgiveness for the mess. Oh, yeah, we leave some mess in yesterday. Woo-wee! The mess we leave in yesterday. Stinking, nasty, dirty, rotten, filthy mess we leave in yesterday. Yesterday, all my dreams seemed so far away. But that was yesterday. I've been forgiven for yesterday. That's what he tells us, that he forgives our sins. He forgives our shame. He forgives our games. I tell you, we know how to play games. Yeah. Woo-wee! We walk around with them in our hand, you see? A handful of games. I was talking to my grandson, and he ain't a kid, but he is. He's 25. And he had one of them things in his hand. And I asked him, what are you doing? Oh, he says, oh, Papa, I'm playing this game. And I said, what prize you going to get when you win? Have you figured out how much you're spending to play that game? Then I went on to ask him, how much are you worth an hour? All the hours and minutes that we spend playing games that we don't get anything out of. We give up our lives for something that don't pay us anything. But God will forgive us. He promised that he would forgive us. He promised that if we come to him and we honor him, that he would forgive us. And that's a promise that he will keep. God is good at keeping his promises. He keeps his promise yesterday, what he promised you. He keeps his promise for today. And it's good for us to know that we can trust the Lord. So often we fail to open up to God so that we can get the cleansing that we need for sinning. Oh, you all have sinned. And all of us keep on sinning. Even after we have confessed our sin and our shame and our game to God, we keep on. That's why the door is always open. Some folks talk about opening the door to church. The door to church is always open. You can always say, Father, forgive me. And that's what Jesus prayed, even on the cross. Father, forgive them. They're ignorant. They just keep on doing stuff over and over again. They need constant forgiveness. And it's available in abundance. And so I've come by today to tell you that you must develop a life of prayer. You must pray without ceasing. If you make any other choice, you're cutting yourself short. Somebody says a day late and a dollar short. So often that's what we are, day late and a dollar short, because we did not devote ourselves. The writer of Acts, Luke, said, continually, steadfastly, in the teaching of the apostles, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. See, prayer solidifies all of these other activities that we involve ourselves in. And we need to have a serious attitude about prayer. It's not a plaything. I remember I had a little blue card over my bed when I was a little boy. And some of y'all seen them little blue placards. Some of them come with the stuff, little silver stuff on it. It said, "Now I lay me down to sleep.
Yes.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Yeah.
And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And during that time, I was innocent. And I could give myself openly to the Lord, but a whole lot of water. Not only water, but a whole lot of mess is gone. So therefore now I've got to work my Christian life on a daily basis. And I'd encourage you to work prayer into it if you have trouble with your prayer life. You can call on the Jesus in you. See, that's where he's supposed to be. Even though he's at the right hand of God, he's supposed to be in you.
Yes.
He promised that he would come and live in us.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to make room for him. And part of the making room for him is our life of prayer. Amen? If you've not strengthened in your Christian life, in relationship, today is the day to do that. Today is the day to dedicate yourself more earnestly to prayer and to trusting in Jesus. Amen.